So many successful long-term businesses have the formula. If you go to the Coke Museum in Atlanta, you get that feel. Chick-fil-A, they've got their own formula of how they do things and be so incredibly successful. It is the same with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, they have a formula. Welcome back to DTK, and it's brought to you by Ticketmaster, your new best friend, as we do kick off officially now the 2024 season.
McKinnon is in at running back. First down and goal to go. Play action fake. Right side throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! Mecole Hardman! Mecole Hardman with the catch on the right side. A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime.
And hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. And yes, the Chiefs will open the curtain once again on the entire National Football League schedule grid as they'll open things up at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on Thursday night against the Baltimore Ravens in an AFC Championship rematch. But we're going to talk about the formula on this episode because it's become the theme of the 2024 team. But you look at it not in just the context of this season or last season or the last two seasons, but if you look in the context of Andy Reid's 12 years here, you can very definitely see a distinct formula of why this team now has had 11 straight winning seasons in a league which is designed for that not to happen.
First of all, we are so back. Do you believe we play a game?
We're going to play a
less
game.
Less than a week.
Did it stop? I'm just trying to. When did it stop? But now it's for real, right? We don't have to talk about OTAs or the draft or mini camp or camp. But yeah, it's here.
And we like that stuff. But we can actually play a game here next week and talk about a game and an opponent and get into it. And we've talked all offseason about chasing this history. Well, we can finally start doing that here next week. So excited. We actually have real football to talk about. I'm with you on the formula. Can I give you a few results of the formula?
Yeah.
Okay. So under head coach Andy Reid here in Kansas City, we have 11 consecutive winning seasons.
That's crazy.
That isn't talked about a lot.
No.
The Steelers always emphasize the non-losing seasons because they have some 8-8 seasons
eight and
in
eight.
There. The Chiefs have posted a winning season. So at least 9 victories in 11 consecutive years. It's the fifth longest streak in the Super Bowl era. So doesn't happen very often. 9 straight seasons with double-digit wins, third longest in NFL history. Only New England was 17 and San Francisco was 16 way back in the day, posted longer streaks. 8 straight AFC West titles, second longest streak for any team since 1970. Only New England with 11. AFC East titles from 2009 to 19 is longer. The Chiefs are 41-7 against divisional opponents in that span, easily the best in the NFL. Can you guess who's next closest against their own division?
In that span? Who's the next closest in that span?
In terms of beating their own division?
Oh, man. It would be Buffalo Bills.
It's not. Kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
It's Dallas at 35-13 against the NFC East. Wouldn't have guessed it.
You could win a lot of.
Yeah, you sure could. I'd
Chick-fil-A and Coke for that. Go to Hy-Vee.
And lastly,
get a Hy-Vee gift card.
The Chiefs, since 2013, since head coach Andy Reid took over, they are 128-51 in the regular season, most in the NFL, and they have 16 playoff wins in that span. 3 more than second place, New England, most in the NFL. So it's all to say the formula has been pretty effective, I'd say.
Yeah, and we're going to dive more into this of why you and I think that it has happened to this point and why teams look at it and maybe you're kind of jealous of it, but unless they're willing to replicate it, then, you know, good luck. And I don't say that with hubris because this team is totally locked in on this season in and of itself, and that's part of the formula, actually, and has been since Andy Reid drove into town. But we have our own formula in defending the kingdom, and that is including going around the world. Now, there's a lot of news out there about like stranded astronauts that have to stay at the space station until 2025, right? We've seen that go on, like, ooh, that'd be kind of terrifying. But ours does not stop. We're still spanning the globe looking for our around the world. And I just love it how people will come up and, you know, hey, put me in there. So it's fine, but let's go around the world. What do you got?
Well, we've been offline for like 2.5 weeks, so I've
It doesn't mean we haven't been doing anything. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it has.
I'm about to pass out, and we haven't even started yet. It's like, wow. I feel like mid-season. It's been just super crazy and a lot of activity going on. That's okay. First world problem.
I think people assume for our jobs that the season is really busy and the off season, we're just not doing anything, where it's actually almost the opposite. Because
it's almost the opposite.
In season, we know what we're doing every single day. There's a DTK every single week. We're always record them on Tuesday or Wednesday, and all of our stuff is very systematic. But in the off season, and especially during training camp and the preseason, just random things on random days. And I feel like 9 months have passed since training camp began in mid-July.
That does seem long.
I'm so glad the season's finally here because we have actually a routine to get into. But I do have 10 around the world today. 10 from over the last like several weeks.
And I'll throw in an 11th just for fun.
Perfect. So the first is I heard from Steve in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We've heard from Steve before. He wrote me during the preseason and told a story about how he remembered when he was a kid. He would watch the Chiefs play during the preseason against the College All-Stars. Remember
that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I kind of love that game.
Yeah.
And that was the start. I'm sorry. That was the start. It wasn't the Hall of Fame game like it is now. You waited all this time for football, and it was the College All-Stars playing the defending world champion.
Yeah.
And they had these stars on their shoulder pads on their uniforms, and it was always like, you know, Ara Parsegian coaching him, and yeah, that was way cool. I love that game.
That would never happen today for obvious reasons.
Are you kidding?
but like,
yeah,
how
Xavier
much would you
Worthy
give
out there? I'm getting 50 snaps against the defending world champions.
How much would you give to watch the College All-Stars play against the Chiefs? It'd be so cool. I would want to see what would happen.
As a little kid, I loved that game because I, you know, we're just starved for football, and there were a few times the College All-Stars would win. And not very often, though. But, yeah, just now it looks ridiculous, actually. But, yes, I'm all for it.
Maybe in an alternate universe one day. We heard from Dan. Dan wanted to shout out his son, Mitchell, and his daughter-in-law, Danny. They live in Austin, Texas, but just got married near St. Louis. And Danny surprised Mitchell with a KC Wolf appearance at the wedding. Isn't that great?
The Wolf, he's everywhere.
He is truly everywhere. He could be in space right now, for all we know.
Well, and I've kind of been everywhere.
It's true.
Even since the 8th of July. But it seems like the Wolf has either been there right before I'm there, or he's coming right behind me. Like, the Wolf is, yeah, he's, I think he replicates himself.
Like, you're walking in, and the Wolf is walking out.
I think,
he's
hey,
like,
the Wolf was
you.
Just here.
You got it.
Wolf was here 2 days ago. Like, where you been?
You're tracking him?
Like, wow, yeah, I'm in Kirksville, Missouri, and they go, yeah, Wolf was just here. I'm like, okay.
Wolf is everywhere, including at their wedding. Congratulations on
nice.
Your marriage.
That's cool. That's a good idea. Now watch the Wolf get bazillions of requests. The wedding. Let's have Wolf with the wedding.
We should do a DTK from a wedding.
That'd be awesome.
Somewhere in the kingdom.
Wait a minute. Here they come, though.
Yep.
Yeah, the wedding planners all over going.
I heard from Gene and Gary up at training camp. They came up and said hi. Awesome couple. They had a cool story. So they were in Thailand during last year's Super Bowl in Bangkok. Had to stay up super late to watch it. But then they were wearing their Chiefs gear proudly around Bangkok the day after the Super Bowl. And what they pointed out, and what I think is so cool, is the local population. A lot of people recognized the Chiefs logo and were saying, hey, Chiefs, congrats, Chiefs. I mean, if I told you that 10 years ago, I don't think anyone in Thailand would recognize the Arrowhead logo, but I think it's awesome that people over in Thailand are familiar with the Chiefs, knew the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and we're congratulating Gene and Gary. So
the hangover,
cool.
Was it part three that was
part two?
Two
was in Thailand.
Was Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a Chiefs logo in that movie, as I recall.
I don't think so. Yeah. Maybe in part four we'll see a Chiefs logo. Shout out to Mike. I met Mike up at camp along with his two sons. I really enjoyed talking with them. Then I saw Mike again at the Lions preseason game. He was there with his 80-year-old dad, John.
Ah, the best.
They got to see the behind-the-back pass, so pretty cool.
Don't let the old man in, John.
I met Matt at the Lions game as well. He was there with his daughters, Caitlin. I believe she goes by KK, though. Bryn and Annabelle, wonderful family. It was great meeting you all. Also met AJ at that game. We met his family a few years ago up at camp. They were from Australia. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he came down and said hi and said, you guys met my family a couple years ago. So yep. Shout out to you all. I met Patricio up at camp. Came all the way from Mexico City just to watch a Chiefs practice. Yeah, pretty awesome.
How about all 50 states? And did we figure out how many foreign countries came to camp?
Oh, I bet it was a lot. Because that stuff's all tracked
digits.
In the app, I think.
Yeah,
so.
It had to be, it's on the app, yeah.
You can ask someone.
But all 50 states, that was terrific.
Just amazing.
Yep.
Met Elise from Washington, D.C. up at camp. So all 50 states in Washington, D.C., don't forget that. Met Andy and Megan up at camp. They were the K-State alums that you talked to as well. Really great people. Andy loves digging up like stats and facts and notes just like we do. So we were nerding out about like Pro Football Reference filters and things like that. So great to meet you both.
Do you remember one of his nerdiest stats?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. He had some good stuff, though. We were having a great time going back and forth. Then also met David up at camp. He grew up in California, but his parents were in the military, so he moved around. His dad was a Chiefs fan. It kind of stuck with him. Now he lives in Kansas City, and he's a season ticket member. So stuck with him his whole life. So great meeting you, David. To everyone who came up to us at camp, it was awesome meeting you. Thank you so much for making the trip, first of all, but also saying hi to us. It's one of the most favorite things that we do is just talking to people up at camp and sharing our love and passion of the Chiefs with you all and vice versa. So if we saw you at camp, you said hi. It was great to see you.
So many kids at camp. It's maybe my favorite thing of training camp. And, you know, they want to get autograph or fist pump or whatever. And I just made it a deal with almost all of you because I said your first day of school, which most of you have started by now, just tell the teacher you want to start with the whole class ripping off touchdown, Kansas City, and then let the school year begin. I don't know how many of those kids are in detention right now, but they're looking at me like, okay, you're crazy, but I might try it.
Yeah.
So
I hope they did.
Train them when they're young. I've got one around the world. These are three guys, actually four, I think. Yeah. And they have been really good in helping Ronald McDonald House Charities. And we know Trent Green is behind that, and Red Wednesday is coming up.
Yep.
You can get your flag at McDonald's, participating McDonald's location for just $5, or shop.chiefs.com for $10.
Nailed it.
And got it. I was trying to think off memory. But the point is, these flags have become collector's items in many ways. I see a lot of your offices, and you've got them all. Our IT department actually here has them all. It's their wallpaper, if you will, their actual wallpaper, not their, you know, electric wallpaper, electronic wallpaper. So anyway, these guys are great. But they represent the Albany, Missouri Warriors, the Polo, Missouri Panthers, and the Parkway West Longhorns, which is actually St. Louis, but all being Polo, right, really close to the epicenter of the Chiefs Kingdom. They're all William Jewell alums. Kevin Ward, Dwight Medberry, Darren Ward, and Matt Lemur, who I think that Texas independent baseball team is.
The Laredo Lemurs?
The Laredo Lemurs. I think they're named after Matt.
You think
actually.
So?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Or he changed his name because of the Laredo Lemurs.
Yeah.
One of our favorite independent baseball.
The American names. Association of Professional Baseball. When I worked for the Kansas City T-Bones way back in the day, now known as the Monarchs. The Laredo Lemurs would take like a 16-hour bus ride for a three-game series against the T-Bones. It was crazy. That's real commitment to your craft right there.
And they'd have a month-long road trip.
They're just gone for a month.
They're gone for a month eating rotisserie hot dogs.
Go to Winnipeg, go to Fargo.
You know, the little plastic cereals that you peel open and put a little milk on it, and you're good to go. So shout out to Laredo Lemurs.
Uh-huh.
We're going to jump. Thanks, and shout out to those guys. They do a ton to help the Ronald McDonald House Charities, which, of course, is the benefactor for our Red Wednesday, which we kind of like. We love Red Friday, but when it's Red Wednesday, it means you won the Super Bowl, and you're going to open the season on Thursday, which is, of course, what's going on this season. But, again, make sure you get your flag, and with net proceeds going to the Ronald McDonald House Charities, and it's crazy how much money we're raising for that. It's pretty cool. But jumping into the formula, you've already kind of alluded to the result of it. But I'm going to start with this one, and again, this is something I talk about actually with businesses across the nation because they want to go, what's going on there? Why? And so part of the formula, we'll start with this way, is there is no one who is the smartest guy or gal in the room. This 11 years of winning, and hopefully into the 12th, really starts with talent, but talent with humility and respect. That goes horizontally and vertically. It starts with the Hunt family. Our chairman and CEO, Clark Hunt, and the Hunt family, Tavia and the rest of the crew, you go down to Lamar Jr., Sharon, Dan, we'll leave nobody out. They're incredibly humble owners. They're purposeful. They're on point. They want to win. They're very competitive. But I'm going to compare them to other owners of other professional sports teams. And I think that's where it starts. Because then Matt... That evolves into Andy Reid, who now is on arguably Mount Rushmore of NFL head coaches. When you look at only three ahead of him in overall wins, and those three are Papa Bear Halas, Don Shula, and Bill Belichick. the fact that Andy's got 26 postseason wins, Belichick has 31, and the last I checked, Belichick is not employed. So if he stays stuck, Andy could pass him. But Andy's not a self-promoter. You don't see him out being crazy. He's very humble and he's very purposed. Same thing with Brett Veach. He just continues on the treadmill, man. He just goes. And let's just take a side note and your thoughts on these late moves that he made. I was at the kickoff luncheon, and boom, I'm getting notifications. In fact, the sad part of it, I had introduced some guys on the team, and by the time I got back to the practice facility, they weren't on the team.
Yeah, that stinks.
But I think that we're going to take a side note here because Veach has just stayed on it, very humble, but he's also talented and resourceful. But he goes and gets Samaje Perine.
Yeah. So
I'm fired up about this.
Super fired up about it. You and I spent about 10 minutes upstairs just watching Samaje Perine catch screen passes. That's where we're at right now. It's exciting stuff. Samaje Perine is a major pickup to get a guy like that in late August. I mean, that's your third down back. I mean, he's one of the best third down backs in the league.
And what's been one of our big concerns is the Jerick McKinnon replacement.
And he can fill that role. I mean, yeah. Jerick McKinnon, I'm not sure people realize just how impactful and important he was over the last couple of years, particularly in the passing game, as a protector and a receiver out of the backfield. Samaje Perine can do both of those things really, really well. Look at last year for Perine. Caught 50 passes for 487 yards. That yardage total ranked 7th among all running backs, and his 9.1 catch average ranked 3rd in the NFL among all running backs. Just going to help his team a lot. Think about little dump-offs, screens, so many different ways he can help this team in the short passing game. So to get a player like that is a big deal. And Cam Thomas as well. Getting Cam Thomas from the Arizona Cardinals, a top 100 pick just a couple years ago. Defensive end at San Diego State, but kind of out of position with Arizona because of the scheme that they run. He was a stand-up kind of outside linebacker edge rusher there. Doesn't really play to his strengths, in my opinion. He's a player that, 6'5", 270 pounds. He is at his best, I think, when his hand is in the dirt, but he's big enough where he can play inside as well. So this is a player that Steve Spagnuolo can use off the edge, can use inside, like he does with players like Mike Dana and Tershawn Wharton. And he had good production while he was in Arizona on his limited opportunities. 35 pressures over the last 2 years, despite not a whole lot of pass rushing chances for him. So I like adding Cam Thomas quite a bit, another rotational defensive end that at least helps us for the foreseeable future, but certainly right now while Charles Omenihu is out.
People know we nerd out on the draft. I mean, if you're defending the kingdom, our kingdom defenders all across the world, you know that Matt and I do that. Cam Thomas, when he was in the draft, we both liked him.
Yeah.
Like, he was highly regarded coming out of San Diego State, and you nailed it. This feels like a Mike Dana type who can play on the edge, hold the edge, but still play inside depending on down and distance. We've seen Chris Jones go inside to outside. And it leads into my second point overall of the part of the formula, in my opinion, is the fact that, and I'll just use the term in concert here, this is a team and a franchise which has won now for 11 straight years, hopefully a 12th, not just with this respect and understanding and listening and humility and staying on point and purpose horizontally and vertically, but to do so in concert. Football teams, and I mentioned this so many times, are fractured so many ways at all levels. This can go all the way down to small school, high school can fracture. You can get individual players or even parents that try to wreck the train or individual players or offense, defense, you know, kind of sniping back and forth. But this is a franchise that has been in concert. I'm going to give the Detroit Lions here a little bit of props. We might have talked about this before, but to me, the Lions have kind of got this figured out. I'm not sure how many other teams do, meaning Brad Holmes is walking step with step with the entire coaching staff, Dan Campbell, and the rest of the Lions coaching staff. So now, let's talk about Cam Thomas as an example of that. And I actually talked with Chamari Connor. This is Exhibit A of me, and also Jaden Hicks. Because when Brett Veach and his coach or his scouting staff, they listen to the coaches listen to them. But I asked those guys because they're asking to do this hybrid role on the back end, right? I asked Brett Veach, how much do you look at scheme fit or the scheme they played in or what they did or how that? And that's huge. That's something that we look at more than other teams. So let's look at a Cam Thomas. If he becomes another Mike Dana type, or we see Chris Jones can move from inside to outside. You get all these pieces moving around. When a team works in concert like that, leave your ego at the door. Just put it there. All of a sudden, you get this energy, and you find Cam Thomas's, and you find other players that can ask and do the things that Steve Spagnuolo or Andy Reid asked them to do, which in many cases is the most complicated scheme on both offense and defense in the National Football League.
Yeah, when I was at the Combine earlier this year, it feels like a million years ago now, but I had a chance to talk to a lot of our kind of mid-level scouts, the scouts that you don't really hear about. They're not in front of cameras often, but they're doing like the dirty work, really working with the area scouts, learning what players are all about, what players are going to be on our draft board, how are we going to rank them, stuff like that. And they explicitly talked about how they scout players based on what they know the coaching staff likes. And that seems like an obvious point. Why doesn't everyone do that? But the reality is we're so fortunate to have like a rock solid regime here in Kansas City, leadership wise and on the coaching staff, that other teams and franchises don't always have. If you're a team that maybe is struggling and you have a new front office, a new coaching staff in place, well, the front office and the coaching staff have to both look out for themselves. They don't know if the other is going to be there. But with the Chiefs, Brett Veach, Coach Reid, everyone, they're here for the long haul. We all know that. They can work together and build this thing for years to come. If you're a different team and you're the front office, you're not necessarily looking for players just to fit your coaching staff, because who knows if that coaching staff is going to work out. You don't know. Maybe you'll have to move on from that coaching staff in a couple of years and those players won't fit that coach's scheme. So it didn't make sense to look only for players that fit that scheme. We're so fortunate here that everyone is on the same page. Everyone, every day, knows what the other wants. And another thing that is kind of unique here that doesn't happen everywhere, that should happen everywhere, is the coaching staff is brought in to these scouting discussions. When they're working on certain position groups, grinding tape, trying to figure out how they're going to stack certain players on the draft board, they'll bring in Steve Spagnuolo or Matt Nagy or Joe Cullen, whoever it may be, to say, what do you think of this guy? How would you rank these two players? Not every front office does that because the egos get involved and the egos get in the way. And you would think with Kansas City, with all the success, maybe there would be a lot of egos. Remarkably, there's really not. Everyone is just here with their lunch pail working together at one common goal. And you're right, that's part of the formula that's made us so successful over the last several years. Does not happen a lot of places. Seems obvious, but just doesn't happen everywhere else around the NFL.
I'd say very few places around the NFL, and I'd even extend that to professional sports. Of the Big Four, it's rare what the Chiefs have in their formula with that, because they just don't care who gets the credit. There's no Wizard of Oz factor. Many times the general manager will be the Wizard of Oz, bring me the witch's broom. They want to control the coach. Or the coach, it's the Bill Parcells, I want to buy the groceries and all that. That just does not exist here. And it's refreshing, but you also see the byproduct of it, and that is this consistent winning. Let me give you another position group that is a prime example of this, and that's wide receiver. Because you'll see all kinds of different wide receivers. Let's go back to the Shamari Connor and Jaden Hicks example. So they may not have the fastest 40 time. They may not have the most reps at 225. But they're talented enough, and they could be really talented. Even Lajarius Sneed fit this. The fact that, though, Virginia Tech, more than most colleges, was asking Connor to do almost precisely what Spags wants him to do. Same with Washington State. And when I talk to both of those guys, both formally and informally, they go, yeah, heck yeah. Like, this isn't something completely foreign to me. That's big. But wide receiver is another one, because we've mentioned this many times. And when your fans look, hey, go grab this guy, go grab this guy in free agency, Coach Reid wants every receiver to play every position. You're not an X, you're not a slot, you're not a Z, you're everything. And that's rare, too, in the National Football League, because we want to get a big X where all we're going to do is throw him nine routes and fades, right? And we know who those guys are around the league. That's not coach's deal. Part of the formula here is you can do everything, and that will drive defenses crazy. And that's why you get Hollywood Brown, if you get him healthy, Worthy fits this category, and the rest of the receiving corps for the most part. But that's unique, but it's a great example of being in concert, and very rare.
And that scheme is why the Chiefs are able to weather injuries when they happen. The whole next man up philosophy only works if the next man up is able to fill in the role of the player that is injured. And then you only have so many players in your roster, it's hard to do that sometimes. Good example of this is during the preseason, Cornell Powell had that great touchdown, right? It's physical, long touchdown against the Lions. Apparently, he wasn't supposed to be in there on that play. I can't remember who was, but a player got hurt. Cornell had to go in, and on one snap, scores a touchdown. that's the preseason, it's different, but that kind of thing happens in the regular season all the time. There are so many plays over the years where it's a great, memorable play in Chiefs history. Well, some player was in there that maybe wasn't supposed to be, but someone got hurt. This guy had to fill in and helped create a moment that we all remember. Those things only happen because Coach Reed knows how to put people in place to succeed. And if you only rely on your starters on paper, you're not going to get very far in the NFL. That's why this time of year is so important to refine the roster, to find every single player who maybe you're not going to see a whole lot on offense or defense during the year, but when they have their opportunity late in the season, if a player is hurt, they have to be able to go out there and play and find success. And that versatility point and that mental readiness point that we look for in players that are going to fill those roles, that's important. And it's hard to find those guys, and our scouting staff and our coaching staff is the best at finding those players, in my opinion.
It's well stated. A next area of the formula, in my opinion, of why the Chiefs have been able to win consistently in a league that's set up not to do that is always remain creative. This is a franchise, and this is part of not being the smartest guy or gal in the room, even though you might be, because coaches most of the time will be, or Patrick will be. But the point is the fact that you always stay creative. Now, we know about Patrick behind-the-back passes and no-look passes and left-handed passes. That's creative. But I also mean within structure. This is a franchise that go, well, this is what we do, here's what we do, and you're going to have to deal with it. There is a template. There's a base. For 12 years, I have seen this team in all three phases, including special teams, try to remain creative. For example, the Ravens are coming to town on Thursday. Pretty fresh. Played them in the AFC Championship game. There is a whole bunch of stuff the Ravens have not seen, because in this offseason, Coach Reed and Spags have put together new stuff. They just stay on the cutting edge all the time. For businesses who have the R&D department, the Chiefs are in the R&D, research and development phase, all the time. And I think as a professional in the NFL, or any professional franchise, any college team for that matter, you can get stuck. You can get stuck. This has been successful. Here's what we are. Here's what we do. Recruit to this. Go get free agents to this. Where the Chiefs all the time are trying to keep it fresh and new. And I admire him about that, and I think that is a rare trait in professional sports overall and the NFL in specific.
Can I give you an example of Coach Reed's adaptability over the years? So I gave this exact anecdote on the radio a little while ago. If you listen to that, I apologize for repeating myself right now, but this is incredible. So during Coach Reed's first 5 years in Philadelphia, the Eagles ran 4,916 offensive plays, okay? Of those, 29 of them took place out of the shotgun. Just incredible. Like, they did not run hardly any plays out of the shotgun, okay? Just last year alone, the Chiefs ran 869 snaps out of the shotgun. He's completely changed his offensive formula, completely changed it. So, like you're saying, some coaches, they have their system. I am a genius. This system works. I have brought it to the league, this is going to work forever. And then when it stops working, those coaches get phased out. And we can all think of these coaches that you know, been these geniuses, and then they go away when their system didn't work anymore. Coach Reed is running a completely different offensive scheme and system today than he was when he first came into the league 20 years ago. And he's still the best offensive mind in the NFL because he continually finds ways to take advantage of the opponent, to put his players in the best position to succeed, to take advantage of what his players do well. So many coaches don't do that. They say, this is my system. I'm going to put my players into my system, and it will work. If it doesn't work, it's the player's fault. Coach Reed doesn't look at it that way. He says, how can I put my players in a position to succeed? And he's done that over the course of his career, and it's so fun to look at really the raw numbers about how much he has changed because Coach Reed today. I think if you took Coach Reed from 1999 and said, hey, look at this scheme you're going to be running in 20 years, he'd be like, what is this? But it's what he's figured out over the years, and it works for him now. And hopefully he coaches more years in the future and have more creative and crazy ideas up his sleeve.
Let me give you another example. When he first came here, he sought out Chris Ault, who was the defender, who was the creator, by the way, the original creator of the pistol offense at the University of Nevada. So he sought him out, had him as his consultant, basically. And then Brad Childress, you remember?
Sure.
He was here originally and, of course, was a coach in Philadelphia and went all the way back to Northern Arizona. This is one of the things I love about Coach. and I've mentioned this to you before, he's extracted something from every one of his coaching stops, whether it's San Francisco State, think of Coach Melvin played for him, he's still here. UTEP, that's Dave Tobe, where he got that. You can look at the influence he had at the University of Missouri. That includes Tobe there. Northern Arizona was Brad Childress. The time in Green Bay, his relationships with John Gruden, which we saw this year at training camp, or Mooch, or those guys that were on that staff, and then with his group, and now he's got his own disciples. But when he goes, I've got to study the pistol, because he didn't run the pistol at all at Philadelphia, and we'll be in the pistol more than you think sometimes.
Because back then, that wasn't a pro-style offense,
no,
right?
No, you don't run a college. You can't run college stuff in the pros. Coach doesn't care. But Spags is the same way. And Spags is always thinking the mad scientist, because he has some of the most exotic blitzes in the National Football League. But to do that, it leads to my final point. And I think the formula to do this stuff, first of all, you have got to look at mental and physical toughness. Okay, we can talk about that a lot at football at all levels and in the NFL. You got to be tough to play this game, yes. But I'm going to add something that's part of the formula here, and that is looking for intelligence and emotional and mental maturity. That's the reason a team can be down by 24 and win by 20. A team can be down by 10 and win the Super Bowl three straight times. We've trailed by 10 points in every one of these Super Bowl championships. And Exhibit A of this is Patrick Mahomes. He is, we see all the crazy physical and skills and all that. And going back to the humility, he and Travis Kelce both are never one to say, I've got to be the highest paid guy at my position. I don't even know what that means. Guys will do that in the last 10 minutes. Those guys will go, wait a minute, I'm going to get paid okay here. We'll figure this out. We'll work in concert and get it done. And by the way, then you're throwing, and Kelce is the highest paid tight end now, but he was, George Kittle gave him crap about not, he can break the market. Well, he is with a $100 million podcast. Or he's Saturday Night Live. He's the Adam Sandler movie. Like, it's all the other stuff. He'll have way more than anybody else. But when you look at their mental and emotional, physical toughness, mental toughness, and their maturity, and the 2022 draft class is this group, Karlaftis, McDuffie, Brian Cook, go right down the line, Jay Will, Leo Chenal. That's how you win on the road in the postseason, and that's how you win when you're 10 points down, because they have a certain level of emotional and mental maturity they bring to work every day. So if you don't recruit to that, if you don't go look for that, if that's not a priority for you, then there's no way you can get this formula.
And they're always steady, no matter what's going on. Look at the peaks and valleys of the last couple of years. When things are going really, really well, you don't see them going crazy, throwing a party for winning a regular season game. Like, they're going to smile and enjoy it in the locker room, but then it's on to the next one. And at the same time, when things are not going well, it's human nature to be like, hey, you should get mad. You should lash out. You should say something in the media, call somebody out. None of them do it. They just put all the blame on themselves. They take accountability for whatever happened, even if it wasn't their fault, and look inwards. And they get better because of that. The team stays together. Think about last year. Things could have completely gone off the rails after the Christmas game, and it was the total opposite. It says everything about the character and the maturity emotionally and mentally of this team, how they handled that, because that was a crossroads. It would be very easy to say, it is not our year. Let's pack it in. We'll play out the rest of the season. We'll retool in the offseason, see what happens next year. Or we can learn about what happened here, take accountability for what happened internally, don't point fingers, and get better because of this. And what do you know? They didn't lose a game the rest of the way, won the division, won the AFC, won the Super Bowl. That says everything you need to know about this team. And really, I think that is forged every year in St. Joe. As much as St. Joe is used for the physical aspect, preparing your body physically for the football season, it's also a matter of mental and emotional toughness, because you're going up to St. Joe away from your family, away from your friends, away from everything else for about a month. And every day it's hot. You're out there practicing. It's repetitive. Every day is difficult. But when you come out of it, and the players that make this team, you're bonded together for the year. And when you're down 10 points in the Super Bowl, you look at your teammates and know what you've gone through with them and think that you can accomplish and achieve anything with them. That's a cool thing. I feel that with you. I mean, when we're doing our stuff throughout the year and things aren't going well, we've been through stuff together, And that equates to a football team as well. not every team is like that. Not every team really cares to be like that. And what's so exciting about this team is they want to be that way because it matters in the end.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Raiders game. I brag up the 22 draft class. I know I say you'd hire every one of them. You'd work for every one of them. But the 21 draft class was a group last year, too, because those guys kind of led the way at that point of the season, most notably Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. The offensive line said, no, we're going to take this on, and that's not going to happen again because they felt responsible for it. And the Raiders had a great pass rush and scheme that day. And then Patrick's always there with that. But that 21, and Nick Bolton fits this role, okay? These guys are right in the middle of it. That sometimes they don't have to say a word, sometimes they do, but the fact that they are just so mentally and physically tough and emotionally and mentally mature makes them an elite level along with their athletic talent. And again, that's easily overlooked or taken for granted. And unless you're a team that wants to say, hey, we're going to leave all of our egos at the door here and recruit that way or look for free agency or have your whole organization be that way, because this organization is that way, starting with the Hunt family, then just continue to chase, because you can be jealous. It's kind of counterculture right now, to be honest with you. This is such an egocentric thing. I got to be the highest paid dude. I'm going to try to run the team as a player. I've got to be a GM that's going to, you know, it's my team or no team, or the coach tries to do a coup d'etat. I mean, that stuff, I've lived all that, man. I've lived all that, and it just does not work. What the Chiefs have now, this formula is a prototype for every professional franchise.
And you need buy-in from everyone to the leadership for it to work. One thing to talk about it, I think a lot of coaches have good intentions and want to establish a culture like that, but it's difficult to do so. The thing that we're so fortunate to have here with the Chiefs is that Coach Reed has the agency where he demands that buy-in, but people want to buy in because they believe in it. They've seen the results of it. And when you establish a culture like that, it kind of snowballs in a good way over time, where no matter what happens, think about a couple of years ago, the Chiefs start 3-4, and we had that disastrous game in Tennessee. Nobody panicked. Nobody panicked. From then on out, made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, a game we hosted. So when you have a coach like Coach Reed, you have ownership like the Hunt family, you have Brett Veach in a position where he's putting this roster together, everyone believes in these guys. They believe in them. Because they have the benefit of the doubt, they've earned it, and that creates a culture that then dissipates throughout the entire team. We're fortunate that we have that here because it is only going to get better here over the years. It doesn't happen everywhere, and many teams, many people will go their whole life and never see their team have that kind of culture. So very fortunate to have the formula here in Kansas City. Let's see what it produces here in 2024.
Well, I wish we had Alan Wright and his horn going, which means a period change.
Yep.
But that means the curtain is ready to open on the 2024 season. Everyone knows the Chiefs are chasing history, and they'll do so by using the formula. And we'll see where this goes from here.